Hello all, this is Michelle Masurgin for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network, and my guest today is Rebecca Girard, statewide housing organizer for Citizen Action. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you, Michelle, for having me again.
Okay, so Rebecca, there have been a few bills going through the Senate right now which affect tenants, and the first bill is looking at rent relief for $100 million fund to pay only residential rents for people who have lost their income due to COVID-19 pandemic. What are your concerns about that bill?
Thank you for asking. We have a large amount of concerns about this bill. So the system that it sets up, and this is a new bill that had just come out, and so there were a lot of other options on the table that are not being allowed to be voted on. The system this sets up creates real potential for harm on behalf of tenants while essentially just writing a check to landlords. And so the way it works is that if you apply for this voucher, if you apply for this program, tenants are going to have to go through a really hard to maneuver and exclusionary process in order to even qualify. If they qualify, their income pre-COVID-19 situation will be considered, and they will be expected to pay that amount at their rent burden status that they had paid prior to the pandemic. So if they were rent burdened before and they were paying 40 to 50% of their income in rent, they'll be expected to contribute that same amount. At the same time, that qualification, should they qualify, means that the rest of their rent would be a check issued directly to the landlord. So what do we have? We have landlords getting money from the state when we're constantly being told resources are few, without having to prove that they are having any financial impact whatsoever, while simultaneously keeping the tenant at the rent burden status that they were at pre-pandemic. So that is first and foremost the most deeply concerning part of this. It does not relieve the stress of paying rent for the tenant, and it hands money to the landlord without protecting the tenant in that situation in any way. Because if they can't pay the other portion of that rent, then they're still vulnerable to eviction and all sorts of other retaliatory and predatory behaviors. It also targets the population at 80% AMI. And so when we look at an amount of money such as 100 million and how few people it's going to reach, we believe that it should reach those most impacted first. And this instead is going to reach those with the most resources, not the least.
Okay, so we were kind of talking about that. In Albany County, the AMI would be $64,800 for a family of three. That would be 80% of the AMI. So your annual income would be $64,800 for a family of three. A 30% rent burden would be about $1,600 a month. So is that the top?
Correct. That's the top. And what we know through these formulas is that they will always be directed to the top of the range. So we are going to have people who make $30,000, $40,000, even $50,000, who are the most impacted in our region, or less, right? Or even less. And those people are not going to be eligible for this program, while people who are making more, right? And everybody should get help. But people who are making more are going to be the ones that get help before people that are making less.
So we're looking for, the landlord should have to apply because they should prove that they're losing income. And then I understand that Housing and Community Renewal is going to be setting up and going to then delegate the administration of this program. And they're going to set up, HCR is also going to set up priority preferences. Do you have any concerns about that?
We do, knowing how HCR manages housing programs that are under their scope. They're understaffed and therefore ineffectual. And so we have no reason to believe that this wouldn't roll out in the exact same way.
The other bill that's coming up is a bill to permanently extend the eviction moratorium instead. What are your concerns about that bill?
Yeah, we have a lot of concerns about this bill, especially as it applies to any area outside of New York City. And we want to be really clear, there was another eviction moratorium bill sponsored by Assemblymember Harvey Epstein that could have been put to a vote, and Senate and Assembly leadership are choosing not to let their members vote on that bill. They will not, they are not allowing for it to be voted on. And so this bill allows for you to raise the impact, financial impact of COVID-19 in a non-payment eviction case. That's still harmful because it's dragging tenants into court. It's allowing for judicial discretion. And this bill also allows for, if you qualify, while you can't be evicted, your wages can be garnished. But let's take all that off the table for a second, Michelle. This bill doesn't cover any tenant in any area of upstate New York. It does not cover any regulated tenants, and there are 5 million unregulated tenants in this state. And so those tenants can always get a holdover eviction, which is a no-fault eviction, and there is nothing in this bill language that gives them a defense or a protection against a holdover or no-fault eviction. And so the entirety of upstate will actually not be impacted in any way, shape, or form by this bill.
Banning evictions during the pandemic is basically saying your rent's still going to be due, and you have to prove, again, that you can't pay because of COVID-related. But can you use that COVID defense? And you're saying even if you're unregulated, it's not going to help anybody in upstate rural areas.
Because the bill specifically says that defense can be raised in a non-payment eviction proceeding. It specifically qualifies that. And so what we're going to have are landlords who just pursue holdover eviction proceedings instead of non-payment eviction proceedings, knowing that there's no legal mechanism for that defense to be used in that type of action.
Yeah. And then even at the end, you only have 30 days and you have to pay all that back rent. So there's really no, or is there some long-term recovery plan for the renter where you have to pay that 3 months of back rent all at once?
Yeah, that bill doesn't have anything embedded in it for a recovery plan. And the fact that it allows for garnishing of wages and other monetary judgments really just ensures that tenants will not be able to get back on their feet.
So before we wrap up, what about the alternatives that the housing advocates were pushing, like the Housing Access Voucher Program or the Home Stability Support bills? What's happening with those bills?
Yeah, this has been a really disappointing failure of leadership. I'm just going to be very blunt, because there were a host of bills that could have protected homeless New Yorkers, that could have protected unregulated upstate tenants, that could have provided actual, real, meaningful rent relief. And Assembly Speaker Carl Heastie and Senate Majority Leader Andre Stewart-Cousins chose to not allow any of those bills to be voted on. So they exist, and there could have been a choice for them to be voted on, and they are not allowing their members to make that choice. And so it's been an abject failure of leadership in this moment on doing anything to address the staggering housing crisis we're in.
So what would you like to see done before we wrap up? What would you like to see done?
We absolutely need the Senate and the Assembly to come back to work and put together a package that actually addresses the crisis that homeless New Yorkers are in, that actually addresses the crisis that the most impacted tenants of the state are in. It should ask that landlords prove financial hardship. We stand in strong solidarity with small landlords who are feeling the crunch of this along with their tenants. But we don't believe, when there are limited financial resources, that millionaire and billionaire private equity real estate should be getting any of those resources in this moment of supposed scarcity.
Thank you, Rebecca, for your time today, and stay safe. This is Michelle Masurjian for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.